Acts chapter 10. If you've got a Bible or a phone or whatever you read these days, get a hold of it. I'm going to read a bit of the chapter. Just to show that we are not totally random in all this, Jan Vickers, who is doing chapter 11, and I had a discussion because actually chapter 11 recounts a lot of chapter 10. So in order that we don't say the same thing, we have agreed. So if you think, oh, you've missed half the story, don't worry, it'll come next week. So Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About ninth hour of the day, he clearly, in a vision, he saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, oh, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Off we go to Joppa. And next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up under the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's about 9 o'clock in the morning. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, oh, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, men who had seen him, who had been sent from Cornelius, made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And Peter thought about the vision, and the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And the story goes on, as you probably know, where Peter goes and meets with Cornelius, and he preaches the gospel to Cornelius. And carry on to verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Now, I hope the Holy Spirit's on you already. But I remember once when I was in a meeting, and it was one of our church holidays. And I prayed for somebody, and they were just there to be prayed for. I laid hands on them, and God took them out in the spirit, and I thought, I'm not quite sure whether this person's saved. So God has an amazing gift of timing, and this person, I said, are you a believer? And he said, well, I'm not quite sure. So I led him to a prayer. There he was on the floor, filled with the Holy Spirit. And God sometimes brings out a different order. And it says here, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter Answer, can anybody forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So, Acts chapter 10, and I've subtitled this God Prods, because God wants to get us activated, and God will use all sorts of means. And I'm going to look at some of the means in which God gets or helps us to get our act together. And so we've got to realize, and Peter was a bit slow in this, but we've got to actually realize that there's a world out there, and that there are people all around that world who need to hear of Jesus. And this guy Cornelius was a good guy. He was a follower of God. He hadn't got it all together. And sometimes we as believers are often quite judgmental. We think, oh, we've got to go to the sinner. And we try and find the dirtiest, filthiest old person that we can find because they need God. But actually there are people out there who are looking for God. Sometimes we try and go to the most difficult places when God actually wants to make it easy for us, and he's bringing people to us. I remember some years ago we had a prophecy about that God, there are ripe fruit out there, and there are ripe fruit in Maidenhead and all around, and Cookham and Hollyport and wherever. We are living. There are ripe fruit in the place where we work. There are some good people. And God wants to see those good people really fulfilled in him. You see, God wants to honour faithfulness where people are living good lives. And, you know, there, I think, well, some of the stuff, all the rubbish, the garbage come out with, you know, the Barclays thing and all that. I think I get excited about this because I think God is doing a cleansing work in this nation. And you see, over the last 3 or 4 years, there's so much has come to light. Well, things come to light because there's a light. Well, this sounds pretty obvious. But God wants to honour the faithfulness and those who are praying, people who have year after year, day after day, 24/7, have been praying for this nation, and God is giving some answers. And I'm excited about that. Mavis and I were at a prayer meeting praying on Friday night for Christians in government, people working in the civil service, MPs, people who have the secular, in quotes, destiny of this country in their hand, but that God would raise up more and more people like that. So God raises up these people. He was a good guy. And God wants to use every means to reach him. And so he gets a vision of an angel. He gets a divine appointment with Peter. And Peter's the man with the keys. The man with the keys is here. I was given a little booklet once on one of my visits to China. The man with the key is not here. And there's a whole load of excuses why a person couldn't get what they want because the man with the key isn't here. But what God says to us today is the man with the keys is here. And now, in particular, Peter, way back in Matthew chapter 16, he was given the keys of the kingdom. And this is just one of the keys that Peter is using to increase the size of the kingdom, going out to the Gentiles. The man with the keys. Actually, you and I are the men with the keys, or ladies with the keys. We've got the keys. Because it's not just Peter had keys, we've got keys to the kingdom of God. And we can unlock those who and give direction to people to find Jesus. But what had happened, you see, one of the things that stops us is religious stagnation. And one of the songs we used to sing, a parody of Onward Christian Soldiers, like a mighty tortoise goes the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. And like a mighty mollusk. And you see, this occurred about 13 years after Pentecost. And the mandate they were given was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and, oh, they hadn't got there yet. Fill in the dots. We need to be those who are filling in the dots, because it's amazing. This nation has a destiny. This nation was very early in being having the gospel under the Romans. And we need to use that mandate to go from where we are here to other places. Now, this swerve to rot is a phrase I picked up from Lawrence Singlehurst, who was from YWAM and used to help us with a lot of evangelism, and how so much of what we do can become an institute and can become a religious exercise. And I was reading, it hadn't struck me before, in 2 Kings chapter 18, where Hezekiah is bringing his reformations into the church. And in verse 4 it says, and he destroyed the serpent that Moses raised up. Well, back in Numbers 22, that was a great thing, that serpent, because God told him, while the children of Israel were being attacked by snakes and poisoned, anyone who looked at this bronze serpent was freed from the sickness. But it had become an object of worship. In fact, they burned incense to it. In fact, they named it, gave it the name of another god. And so easy it is for us, when we, in our church life, that we become religious. And God wants to break through all that, and that we avoid religion, and that we have a living faith. You see, Peter, oh, not so, Lord. Hang on, Peter, I'm showing you a new revelation. And it took that that dream, that vision, and oh, it came down 3 times. Oh, there were 3 men. How fantastic. And it says the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, yeah, this is what it's all about. So, dreams and visions. Have you got dreams? Have you seen visions? Who's had a dream? Good. Praise God. Because I want to pray that we get more and more dreams and visions. Here's a picture of Jacob with his little dream, and here's Peter and the vision he had. You see, God wants to use everything at his disposal. You see, what happens in dreams, I was talking to some guys from Iran, I said, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So many people in Iran have been spoken to God by dreams and visions. I said, why is that? And he said, well, in our culture, there's no difference between whether you're asleep or whether you're awake. It's all life. And we don't devalue us being unconscious, because we can still be conscious to God. And I mean, in the West, we tend to think, oh, I had a dream last night, it must have been that cheese. But God doesn't look on it like that. Our sleeping time, in fact, sometimes when we have a dream, God's possibilities are much more acceptable. Oh, I couldn't even dream it. Well, actually, do dream it, because it's a God possibility, that because God wants to open and broaden our horizons. And sometimes when we are awake, we see a lot less than we do when we're asleep. And God gives us new possibilities in dreams. Remember your dreams. One time I used to keep a little notebook by my bed. In fact, I've had a few dreams, and actually I tend to get the dreams that are actually warnings, and, you know, about things that God speaks to me in dreams, and I have to do something about that. I have to go and give a message to somebody because I've seen them in a dream and something that is going to go wrong. That's the sort of dreams I have. Not everybody has the same sort of dreams. But I know they're from God, and we need to act on them. So, and I believe that God wants to release more and more dreams and visions, because he wants us to enter into that partnership with him that goes beyond what we can see with our physical eyes and what we can hear with our physical ears. Angelic visitations. Sometimes we look on angels and we think of these amazing beings that God has created. But do you know that we are of a higher order than the angels? And in fact, angels are there as spirits to minister to us. And we can ask God, nearly always when our children come and visit us, and we pray for them, and we just pray that the angels around the cars and they're travelling in, and God sends them. And God just longs for us to ask. So get on and ask for them. And also there are angels. Sometimes people... Has anybody entertained an angel here? Well, let's pray that we do. I've heard stories, I've not myself, I've heard stories about people who have given lifts to people, and they've sat in the car and then they've just disappeared. But before they disappeared, they've said, Jesus is coming soon. And God uses those angelic visitations. Let's broaden our horizons to help. You see, that's how God got this show on the road. That's how God gets Peter out of prison. That's how, you know, where would we be if Joseph hadn't responded to the dream? You know? Go to Egypt. Get away from the massacre. Yeah, I thought you'd like a few angels to fly in. Well, I chose these pictures actually because most of the Bible pictures of angels are a bit wimpy. And these guys got a bit muscle to them. Divine appointments. Sometimes it seems as if God has got a chessboard. One divine appointment I had, and I apologise to those who've heard this story before, but I was in Lhasa Airport in Tibet, and I had a bit of time spare because my friend Steve and Fiona, they'd gone off somewhere else, and I was waiting to go back to Beijing and back home, and I was waiting for my flight. And I saw this girl, Western girl, which is quite rare in Lhasa Airport, and she was reading a book. And I thought, aha, I wonder if that's a Bible or whatever she's reading. So I'm one of these people, I've got a fairly low boredom threshold, and if I've got a couple of hours to wait, I'd see if I can find somebody to talk to. So I looked over her shoulder and saw she was reading, it was a Bible and it was the book of Job. So I went up to her and I said, oh, that's an interesting book you're reading. And we got talking, and she was an Australian girl teaching English in Beijing, among other things, you can imagine. And obviously she was a believer and she was reading her Bible. And we got talking, and She said, well, you know, what I'm praying for at the moment is I've got some friends back in Brisbane and they want to work with AIDS orphans in Lesotho. And so I said, well, yeah, I've been to Lesotho 3 times and our church had a partnership with a church in Lesotho. Now, most people in the world haven't heard of Lesotho. It's a landlocked country, about 2, 3, 4 million people in the middle of South Africa. But here am I in Lhasa, and here's she in Lhasa. She's Australian for Beijing. There's some people in Brisbane who want to get to Lesotho, and God makes the connection. Those are the divine appointments that God gives, and we can pray that God gives us those opportunities he wants to keep. God, it's like God works a pincer movement. He worked a pincer movement on Cornelius with him sending the guys to Peter. And at the same time he's getting Cornelius saved, he's giving fresh revelation to Peter. Because God is... he's a great economist. He doesn't waste anything. And in fact, he probably gets double blessing out of everything because that's the way. But he wants us to get on with it. He wants to impart to us a sense of urgency. I've had other divine appointments. I get feelings sometimes, you know, I must go and see somebody. And there was a guy who was in this church and he was very ill. He'd been quite ill, but he had been praying for healing and stuff like that. And it was a Monday night, and I can remember I went round to see him. And I said, and I knew what I had to say. Because I had to say, look, say you didn't get healed. Say you went to meet with God. Are you ready? And we talked and we prayed together and he came to the clinic. Yeah, he said, that would be a good option. I think it was the Wednesday he went into hospital and on the Friday he went to glory. Now, I didn't know that. All I had to do was just follow God's prompting. Just a slight prompting, because it is a bit like God looks down on almost a global chessboard he's got. He can join Brisbane, Australia to Lesotho. He can bring about these divine appointments. And that's what God opened up for Cornelius and Peter. So people often ask me, how do you hear from God? How do you hear God? And is it like we've got this ginormous great lug hole? Well, sometimes God does speak to us audibly. But it's not very often. Because most of the stories in the Bible about people hearing from God audibly. And we think, oh, yeah, doesn't count. But actually, God tends to speak in us. I was reading a commentary on the book of Zechariah, and the commentator said, he was commentating on the phrase, and the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. And he said, that's really not a very good translation. He said, the preposition's wrong. In the Hebrew, it would be, the word of the Lord came in Zechariah. Now we're filled with the Spirit. We've got the Spirit of God in us. So, yeah, we hear God in our hearts. We get those feelings. God speaks from the inside of us. Do not discount it because it hasn't been written in gold letters across the sky. Because I've not seen a lot of gold letters, but I have heard God in me. Who's heard God in them? Good, good. Hear God in you. In fact, In the ancients, in the Hebrew times, they saw the center of a person's being is in the liver. And I rather like that, because I'm the person who has gut feelings. Maybe this will tell you, affection is not one of my strong points. So I'm not so much of a heart, but I'm a gut person. Now, if you're a gut person, please be encouraged. You're okay. You don't have to feel desperately loving. But if you get a feeling in your guts, just like I had when I went and saw the guy who was going to be with God, just get those gut feelings. And people say, oh, yeah, it's like people talk about butterflies in your stomach. Well, that's because you're not quite sure. But go with it. Go with it. So often, we don't pursue these gut feelings. Oh, yeah, I thought I had a feeling. Well, go and find out if it's true. The only thing is, you can only make a mistake. And God's bigger than our mistakes. Far bigger than our mistakes. And the thing is, if you go with it, you will find out whether it's right or whether it was, you know, it was something you had. God wants all the time to be speaking to us in our guts. And that's why I think, you know, Jesus said, yeah, out of him will flow rivers of living water. Out of your guts, out of your belly, it says, translates it. Out of your very centre of your being, which for the Hebrews was out of the liver. I was looking up liver. And it's got a lot of blood in it. And if you read the Noahic Covenant, it says, life is in the blood. So, how do we hear God? Sometimes it is from the outside, but more often than not, it's on the inside of us. Paul says that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Not the eyes in the middle of your head. The eyes of your heart to be enlightened, to understand what God is saying. So, to finish off, what I say is, bring on the angels. Here we go. I like this one. This is a bit of a... He's got a tin hat on. He's a fighting angel. And I think we need to have warring angels around us because we're in a battle. And this is a bit of a blessing angel. I hope he hasn't got Moses' serpent hanging up there. Just notice that. Also, let's dare to dream. Dare to dream and do it, because God wants to broaden the possibilities that we have. So can we just pray? And if you want to see angels, if you want to dream dreams, why don't you just stand up, because I'm standing up and I want to. If you want divine appointments, Father God, I thank you that you have our destiny in your hands. And Father, I pray that you will release to us dreams and visions. Each one, Lord, speak to the eyes of our hearts. So show us in our dreams. Give us those gut feelings, Lord. Speak to us in the center of our being, Lord, we pray. And Lord, just send those angels that we might just have that encouragement. Just broaden our view of you so that we can be more effective. That your glory, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, shall fill the earth, shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen.